Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Over the past 40 years, Americans have cut their snooze time by 1 to 2 hours a night. We now sleep less than people in any other industrialized country. Chronic sleeping problems afflict more than 70 million Americans, costing the nation billions in medical expenses, accidents, and lost productivity, according to studies. Last year, doctors wrote a record 43 million prescriptions for sleeping pills. So what's going on? How does this deprivation affect our bodies? Our guest today, holistic health and lifestyle expert Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., is back with us for her best tips on how you can sleep like a baby and why it's so important. Susan, Dr. Susan, also the author of many books, including two brand new books, the latest celebrated companion books, Uplifted, 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality, and Hug in a Mug, revitalized with fruits, veggies, juices, soups, spices, teas, and healthy living extras. Talking sleepless in America. We welcome back to the program, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. Dr. Susan, welcome back. A pleasure to have you on the program. Love the topic today. This is something we all should be concerned about. I should have known
and
that was
Rick,
coming.
Hi. Oh, yes, here I am. And it's one of my favorite topics about health in the world because it affects every aspect of our lives. You cannot be healthy, body, mind, and spirit without getting enough sleep at night. So I'm so glad you picked this topic for today.
I love this topic, and let's start with what happens when we don't get enough sleep. What are the repercussions?
Yeah, well, there is nothing more restorative for the body than getting good sleep. You know, it takes a toll on our bodies, and you need plenty of it night after night. Lack of sleep affects everything from, you know, causing weight gain to job performance to school grades to every aspect of health, even to family harmony. And women in particular, and especially mothers, are the most sleep-deprived. And it's been shown that 6 hours of sleep nightly, and I'm not saying that is a good thing, sleep 6 hours is not enough, is the equivalency of driving drunk in terms of mental functions.
Wow.
And we all have stress in our lives, everyone, worldwide. And lack of sleep absolutely undermines your body's ability to deal with stress. And one way to tell if you're getting enough shut-eye is to see if you wake at a regular time without an alarm. And if you require a loud buzzer or more than one to get out of bed
yes.
in the morning, you're not getting enough sleep.
That's just amazing. You mentioned 6 hours. That's not good. How much sleep do we need each day? Something we want to try to get by with a minimum. But we read 7, 8, some 9 hours a day. How much do we really need?
Well, and that's an excellent question, and most people don't realize this. Adults need a minimum of 7, you know, between 7 and 8 1/4 hours of sleep nightly to maximize their ability to function daily. All this, by the way, comes from decades of research I've done. And I'm always up on the latest sleep studies. Adolescents, Rick, need 9 1/4 hours. Preschoolers need 12 hours. Toddlers need 13 hours. Babies need 14 to 18 hours of sleep every day.
That's just amazing, and we all think that maybe we hope we're getting enough, and then we hear statistics like that and thinking, okay, we really need to refine our sleeping habits. We're talking about Sleepless in America with Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D. So much more on our website, susansmithjones.com. We'll give you all that as we go through the conversation. In chapters of both of your just-released books, Uplifted and A Hug in a Mug, you're right about that connection between weight and sleep. Tell us a little bit more about that, if you would, please.
Yes. And you read the early edition, and, you know, so you know what's in these books.
Yes.
sleep affects your hormones that regulate satiety, hunger, and how efficiently your body burns calories. So to put this simply, too little sleep makes you hungry, and especially, Rick, for foods that are high in calories and low in nutritional value. So, all right, these would include junk foods, especially those made with white sugar and white flour, and also fried foods like French fries and potato chips. And then, moreover, a lack of sleep primes your body to hold on to all the calories you eat. So even if you have a great, healthy diet, lack of sleep, rather than burning all the calories efficiently, will prime your body to hold on to all the calories and deposit them throughout your body as extra fat. So, you know, this is one correlation, the connection between weight and sleep. So if you have any weight to lose, you've got to make getting good sleep every night non-negotiable.
So if someone is listening thinking, I would like to see this proven, that what studies show, so I know that there is a connection and I could put on the pounds because I'm getting a lack of sleep. You just said that what there is confirmation that connection is not just theory, it's actually been proven.
Sure has, and literally hundreds of studies, but one of the most recent I just read was done at Columbia University in New York City. And put simply here, researchers found that people who slept 6 hours a night, like we were just talking about, were 23% more likely to be obese than people who slept between 7 and 9 hours. And then those who slept 5 hours a night were 50% more likely. And then, hopefully nobody listening here will identify with this, those who slept 4 hours or less were 73% more likely to be obese.
Incredible.
So if you're eager to drop a few pounds, make getting ample sleep an important habit in your lifestyle. And I'll just add this as a little extra thought. You know, in my private practice and in these latest two books just released, not only do I recommend more sleep if you want to lose weight, but I also recommend quality sleep because it makes for better relationships. And if everyone would just get more sleep and feel more rested, people would be more thoughtful towards one another. I write about that in detail in the Uplifted book. And the dynamics of a family would run more smoothly, and we'd all be happier and in better moods, adults and children. And what a wonderful gift that would be to give our family, friends, business associates, our community, and in essence, our country and world, that gift where you getting more sleep will make a positive difference, because each of us in our way can make a positive difference in our community, our family, our community, our state, our country, and the world.
You've said, and in fact, you write it in your books, there's nothing more restorative for your body than a good night's sleep. Night after night after night, you emphasize. Please tell us specifically what happens in our body with consistent lack of sleep. And you've touched on some of those. There really are negative consequences, serious consequences, aren't there?
Yes, and I'll just rattle off some things that might surprise some people. When you get fewer than 6 hours of sleep nightly, it makes you irritable. It makes you seem stupid because words don't come as easily, and you become forgetful. You have a harder time focusing or multitasking. It increases your blood pressure, your hypertension. And as mentioned, it makes you more hungry for refined sugary foods and refined carbs and fatty foods. As mentioned, too, it makes you gain weight. It shortens your lifespan, makes you feel more stressful. It immensely increases depression. And like I said, it slows your reaction time. So 6 hours of sleep or fewer than that, is the equivalent to driving driving like you're drunk, like you've had four alcoholic drinks. And you know the and then, by the way, talking about cars, and it's been reported, Rick, that at least 1,500 drowsy driving fatalities happen in this country every year. And that's because cars are so cozy and comfortable these days with cruise control.
Yes.
That doesn't help. And the obviously, this goes without saying, but I'll say it, the instant you feel drowsy at the wheel of an automobile, when your eyelids get heavy, get off the road. And I think people are sleeping less now than they did a century ago, and that's thanks to electric lighting, the shift to an urban industrialized economy, not to mention what? Late-night television. And the result of this disruption of basic body metabolism, it affects all aspects of our health. And with workloads, I hear this from people all over, with workloads and daily stress increasing for many people, sleep issues loom larger than ever for both individuals and society. So this is a topic a lot of people think, well, it's not so important. I get through my day even though I have 4 to 6 hours of sleep at night, but it will catch up with you, and it's very serious for your head-to-toe health.
Let's go back and talk about stress. That's something that we all deal with, stress in our lives. Take a brief look at sleep and how the lack of it affects, well, our hormones as well as stress levels, because most people are very familiar with stress and try to figure out ways to deal with stress better.
Yeah, great question. So one of the latest studies done at the University of Chicago, and I wouldn't want to be in this study, asked research participants to stay in bed just 4 hours a night for 6 nights, then 12 hours per night for the next 7 nights. And when sleep deprived, blood sugars, cortisol, and the sympathetic nervous system, the activity in all those, rose, and the thyrotropin, which regulates our thyroid function, fell. So what does that mean? The results of the study show that chronic sleep deprivation forces the body into that fight or flight response, pushing blood sugars and other hormone-related functions totally out of kilter. And when you and cortisol is one of the stress hormones. You and I have talked about it a lot.
Yes.
And when you have higher cortisol levels because you're not getting ample sleep at night, among other things, that will lead to memory loss, an increase in your fat storage, and a decrease in your lean muscle tissue. And that's the perfect combination if you want to lower your metabolism and gain weight easily. Most people don't want that. But if you want to increase muscle mass, which is necessary, if you want to have a fit, lean, strong body, you need at least 8 hours of sound sleep nightly to encourage that muscle maintenance and growth, you know, the muscle maintenance and the growth of the muscle if you're into exercise and you want to build up strong muscles. And also the release of the human growth hormone. You need good sleep at night to have ample release of that, which decreases as you get older. And that human growth hormone helps to keep us youthful and strong. So let's put this another simple way. Sleeping can absolutely make you slimmer.
I love that. There is so much information, so much more to come on today's program, and you'll find so much more on Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. Follow her on X, formerly Twitter, X at Susan Smith Jones. Her two just released brand new books, Uplifted, Hugging a Mug, has great information, companion books. We'll talk about that as we go through the conversation. We're taking a brief break. When we come back, let's talk about the impact of sleeping and the aging process. We do that with Dr. Susan Smith Jones after these messages. Welcome back This Week in America. Thank you for joining us on the program today. Our guest, Susan Smith-Jones, PhD, holistic health expert. She's talking about the topic, Sleepless in America. I asked the question, now we'll get an answer before we took a break there. The impact of sleeping and accelerating the aging process or slowing down the aging process. Dr. Susan, what's the connection? Will we slow down aging by sleeping properly?
Yeah, so everyone that wants to look and feel years younger, they're all of a sudden very attentive of what I'm about to say. So sleep deprivation absolutely accelerates the aging process. In that same University of Chicago study, participants who only slept those 4 hours a night for a week metabolized glucose 40% more slowly than usual, which is similar to the rate seen in very elderly people. Glucose metabolism, however, then quickly returned to normal after getting a full night's sleep every night for a week. In other words, they couldn't make it up in one day, one night of sleeping longer. It took a whole week to catch the body back up.
It's just amazing, the statistics and everything that goes into trying to put together a healthy lifestyle. And really at the cornerstone of that is sleeping. Our topic is Sleepless in America with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, website Susan Smith-Jones, PhD. Well, not PhD, Susan Smith-Jones, and you'll find her also at Twitter, now X at Susan Smith-Jones. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. How do you know if you are sleep deprived? We cut back to sleep. We think this is good. We've got an extra hour a day, maybe of work, maybe of leisure, and we're not falling asleep the next day. We think we're okay. How do we know we're sleep deprived?
Yeah, excellent question. So if you become sluggish, drowsy, or maybe fatigued, particularly after lunch or in the middle of the afternoon, or when you're listening to a riveting radio interview, if you're a little sluggish now, you are sleep deprived. And if you have difficulty getting up in the morning, like one of my clients often sleeps through two alarms, you are sleep deprived. So those are simple indications that you might need more sleep. But, you know, you can count the hours of sleep you get. You know, so this is not a hard thing to figure out.
It's interesting. We think maybe, okay, I'm not getting enough during the week, but watch me on the weekend. I'll be on the couch for 16 hours a day. I'm going to catch up. I start Monday. We're back at zero. I'm in great shape. Or I'll do a couple of naps during the course of the day. I'll do a power nap, and that's going to be good for me, and I can get by with less sleep overnight. Either of those work?
Excellent. So 95% of Americans, by the way, suffer from a sleep disorder at some time in their lives, and 60% suffer from some persistent sleep disorder, like they get up in the middle of the night, they use the bathroom, they go back to bed, they can't get back to sleep, it takes them an hour or more to go to sleep. 60% of Americans suffer from some sleep disorder. And when it comes to sleep, researchers and other sleep experts say that most people require that minimum of about 8 hours nightly. And, Rick, every hour you lose adds to your sleep indebtedness, and you cannot expect to catch up by sleeping in late one day. In fact, the lost sleep accumulates progressively and contributes to long-term health problems. And this doesn't just pertain to adults. Children and teens actually need more sleep than adults, like we talked about early on, because sleep loss affects how they learn, increases the chance of accidents and depression and violent and aggressive behavior. So naps can be recognized as a powerful tool in battling fatigue. However, and this is important, I talk to many people in my private practice who have insomnia. Well, they did before they came to see me, and I helped them with it. So if you have insomnia, naps can actually aggravate your night's sleep. by taking the edge off your sleepiness, an afternoon may make it even a little bit harder for you to get to sleep at night. In other words, if you're sleepy because of insomnia, napping should be avoided. And, you know, here's another thing. I get this question a lot. Well, how about eating before I go to bed? Most people, it's interesting, I find, don't know this. Naps are not recommended right after a meal or right before you go to sleep. And here's why. It's natural to want a nap after eating because distension of the stomach from the meal increases that deep sleep drive. In fact, Rick, you know how you feel after a Christmas or a Thanksgiving meal. You kind of want to loosen your trousers and maybe take a nap. And that's because that distension in the stomach increases that deep sleep drive. And the problem is that if you overeat, the digestive process will interfere with the quality of your sleep. And conversely, sleep will interfere with the digestive process. So you're better off to allow digestion to occur before sleeping, as both digestion and sleep tend to work better when performed separately.
Interesting. We're talking Sleepless in America. Susan Smith-Jones, our guest on the program. You mentioned in the newly released book, A Hug in a Mug, that when you exercise during the day, it helps you sleep better that night. Explain the correlation between those.
I love this one, too, because, you know, I'm totally into fitness and daily exercise. God gave us this miraculous body that does require daily exercise. If people, you can tell someone's level of self-esteem if they don't exercise or they hardly ever exercise because it affects all aspects of our body, mind, spirit, and certainly it will help you sleep. Now, if you're interested in getting more quality sleep each night, let's put exercise on your to-do list. Exercise helps you sleep better, but here's the key. You don't want to engage in strenuous exercise too late at night because it accelerates the body's metabolic rate, which remains revved up for a few hours, making it tough to sleep. Morning exercise routines, or if you've got insomnia, exercising 4 hours before bedtime will help you sleep much better. It's really remarkable. So if you're the person listening who has sleep issues and you do not exercise, you'll see how within a matter of a day or two, you're going to sleep better by adding in exercise.
Let's talk about the quality of sleep. And I ask that because people say, I'm in bed for like seven and a half hours, but I can't get to sleep. So I'm spending an hour, hour and a half. You mentioned to get up in the middle of the night, you can't get back to sleep. You get up to go to the bathroom. You get up to check your messages. Got to see what's happening in Twitter overnight, that type of thing. Give your thoughts on how to create that environment in the bedroom that's conducive to sleeping. If I've got a 65-inch television in the bedroom and I've got my bedstand there and I've got my phone propped up so I'll see when alerts go off, that's probably not conducive, is it?
No, absolutely not. So many people have the chronic issue of FOMO, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out.
Yes.
They want to be up to date on everything. And so now you know you need to get better sleep at night. So we need to create in your life an environment and also bedding. I'll go through it really quickly because it's all in my two new books that's conducive to helping you get to sleep. Things like you want to, and if we had 3 hours, I'd go through why on everything. But trust me, I have research this in detail for decades, and I work with so many people and always help everyone who needs better sleep. Sleep in natural fiber PJs if you wear pajamas, in a dark, quiet, and cool room with fresh air. That means even in the winter, crack your window open just a little bit, like a quarter of an inch. It's good to put green plants in the bedroom because the extra oxygen from the green plants helps promote more sound sleep. Make sure your bed sheets are not polyester. They're natural cotton. And that's just because they're negative ions in the air. Paradoxically, that means the healthy ions, even though they're called negative ions, that give you a more positive attitude, that lift your mood, lift your spirit. And when you wear natural fiber clothes, you have more negative ions that gravitate around your body, puts you in a better mood, and helps to promote sleep. A cool room and a pillow are also helpful. Here in Brentwood, Santa Monica, where I live, when you have heat waves, doesn't happen too often, but I'll sometimes take a Ziploc bag filled with ice or one of those gel packs I keep in my freezer, and I put it on top of my pillow, and then I remove it, put it back in the freezer before I go to bed. And having your head on a cool pillow will help. Sometimes you see advertisements on TV or elsewhere of pillows you can get to keep your head cool.
Yes.
Not sure how good they work, but I like my gel pack on the pillow. And then 2 to 3 drops of the pure essential lavender oil on your pillowcase or maybe in a diffuser next to your bed promotes calm and relaxation. Of course, it goes without saying, a good mattress, a few pillows are essential. When side sleeping, you want to take a spare pillow between your legs, right in between your knees, and that keeps your spine and body in good alignment. And you put the pillow, if you're a back sleeper, under both of your legs, under your knees. Try to avoid sleeping on your front, on your stomach, because this can lead to severe lower back pain and, of course, more wrinkles on your face. So many things that can help you sleep better, and I have tons more in both Uplifted and A Hug and a Mug with the science behind it.
And you can find information on those books and so much more at Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. We've talked about lack of sleep, and it can lead to a variety of health problems, including weight gain, accelerated aging, depression, irritability and impatience, low sex drive, memory loss, lethargy, relationship problems, accidents, toxic buildup. I think I've got most of them that we've talked about on the program. So now we're ready. Give us your best tips for better sleep, as you just wrote about in the new release, Uplifted. Give us the tips we need to correct a sleeping problem and to live better and more healthy.
Yeah, so let me add a few more things right here to what I just said, and I can tell you've been listening, by the way.
And writing, yes.
I'm totally into heat therapy. And if you if by increasing your evening body heat, it's a very effective way to promote deeper sleep because physiologically, in a nutshell, here's what happens. Your body temperature hits a peak about 2 hours before bedtime. And as your body temperature drops, then melatonin is released and your body gets physiologically ready for sleep. And the bigger that drop in temperature, the deeper the drop into deep sleep. And now, isn't this fascinating, Rick,
yes,
that the people with insomnia do not have the normal drop in temperature, so they aren't as ready for deep sleep. But this is all, you can remedy all this by, you know, you can heat up the body with exercise 4 hours before bedtime, to give it enough time for the adrenaline release caused by the exercise to wear off. I don't recommend great exercise in fewer than 4 hours before bedtime. And that can assist you in driving you physiologically into deep sleep. You can do a hot bath 2 hours before bedtime. My favorite remedy, and I write about it in detail in both books, is an infrared sauna early in the evening, because that really heats up your body inside the core. I think it's important, no matter where you live, to have an infrared personal sauna in your home. all around where I live, they have little wellness centers where they'll charge you $100 to $200, depending if you want to take a shower afterwards, to go take an infrared sauna. But I would rather not sit where other people have been sweating.
Yes.
For decades, I've had an infrared sauna in my home. But if you do that in the evening, a couple hours before bedtime, you will start sleeping like a baby, because this overall increased body temperature with its accompanying big drop back to normal will promote that sound deep sleep. And just for the fun of it, you know, another way to assure more quality shut-eye is to make sure your bed is for sleep and maybe sex only. You want to avoid working, eating, watching TV in bed. Reading until you fall asleep is okay, but try to read something that's uplifting, inspirational, calming. You know,
yes.
Fill your mind with positive thoughts before, like my books, Uplifted and A Hug and a Mug. And one more, you know, because I mentioned this briefly a moment ago, one more essential tip if you want sound rejuvenating sleep is this. Don't eat too close to bedtime. A big spicy meal may cause that sleep-inhibiting indigestion, and also excessive hunger will make you restless. So choose your evening meal wisely. By the way, carbo-rich foods help send the amino acid tryptophan to the brain, which helps to induce sleep. Proteins inhibit tryptophan's journey to your beautiful brain, making you more alert. So if you're really hungry in the evening after, say, a dinner meal, you want to choose a carbohydrate snack, like maybe a piece of fruit that digests quickly, instead of protein. And Rick, people have said to me, I just need a couple drinks of alcohol at night and it makes me sleepy. But what I tell them is that alcohol is a stimulant and blocks the restful sleep experienced during your REM cycle. That's a sleep cycle. And you also want to get a balance. I write about this in my new books, newly released books. You want to get a balance of minerals throughout the day, especially calcium, magnesium, and iron, because these all have a sedative effect. Deficiencies will actually keep you more awake.
Can you recommend any natural sleep aids? We want to stay away from the 43 million prescriptions. Natural sleep aids, breathing exercises maybe that will support restful sleep. Will either of these work?
Yes, yes, yes. So just so you know, in my book, A Hug and a Mug, I go through chapters in detail of different teas, juices, spices, foods that will help you sleep and help any condition you have, any ailment, any disease, exactly what to eat and what not to eat. In Uplifted, I give you the mental, emotional, spiritual aspect along with action steps you can take every day to help you mentally if one of the reasons you can't sleep is you're stressed out so much. So I help you with all that. And by the way, the old remedy I learned from my grandmother as a teenager of chamomile tea, that really does help. I help if you take that, you don't want to take it right before you go to bed because you don't want to be up in the bathroom all night. So like an hour before bed on an empty stomach will really help. And then you just mentioned breathing. And here's a simple, and I love it when they're cost-free.
Oh, yes.
A simple sleeping tip to be when you get into bed at night, if you hold your right nostril closed with your right thumb, like I'm doing right now, and only breathe through your left nostril for 3 to 5 minutes. Hopefully you don't have an allergy or a cold, you know, so you're going to breathe solely in and out through your left nostril, closing off your right nostril for 3 to 5 minutes. It will calm you down. It will relax your body. It would help you sleep more restfully. And it does this, as you'll read in my books, because it changes the brainwave activity from more beta, which is where we hope everyone is now, it's waking consciousness, to more alpha, and then help you even get into theta, and then deltas when you're in deep sleep. And that breathing exercise is excellent. I don't recommend doing it when you're driving, but when you're stressed out and anxious and need to relax a little bit more, especially if you want to get to sleep a little bit more effectively and quickly, try it before you go to bed at night. Also, by the way, on my computer, right on the home page, it says calming nature sounds, and you click there. I want people to be able to be relaxed more and not so anxious. So when you're browsing my computer, or when you're maybe meditating or praying or just sitting and developing your intuition with a cup of tea looking out the window, I've got all kinds of nature sounds, from waves to babbling brook to a gentle breeze through the pine forest to birds chirping. You pick whatever you want.
And you'll find those at SusanSmithJones.com. So much in the program today, and you'll find so much more in addition to what we've talked about on her website in her newly released books, and we'll give you all that information in a second. Time now for closing arguments. Give us some of your, summarize what you've told us about today. Give us maybe some tips, some last-minute thoughts on how to inspire us to get more sleep and do it correctly on a daily basis.
Yes. Okay, excellent. Let me see how I do this. Just know right now, you know, etch it in stone in your brain. There's nothing more restorative for the body than good sleep. It helps you deal with extra weight, with stress, with depression, with living a longer life, with blood pressure, multitasking. It makes you seem smarter, and you will be. Every aspect of sleep is important for your body, and so you want to get good sleep and plenty of it, night after night, like you said, night after night. And sleep, remember that we're under a lot of stress these days, and it undermines your body's ability to deal with stress. And as I mentioned to you, I just feel that it's this important that if everyone could just get more sleep and feel a little bit more rested, people would definitely be more kind towards one another, because you know how you feel. You're more cranky and irritable.
Yes.
If you haven't gotten a good night's sleep. And that affects the dynamic of family, friends, you know, your work relationship with colleagues. Everything would run more smoothly if we could all just make getting good sleep not non-negotiable. And think of what a better gift to give the world than being fully rested, healthy, happy, and positive. So I want to end with saying sweet dreams to everybody.
Great topic today. Fantastic information, life-altering information by our guest, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. Her website, SusanSmithJones.com. The topic today is sleeping in America. So much more on her website. And let's close by talking about the website, by the newly released books, how they can get those autographed copies as well, and sign up for the free monthly newsletter. Give us some information on all of that.
Yeah, so at my website, my name, SusanSmithJones.com, you'll find out information about my brand new books, A Hug and a Mug and Uplifted. And A Hug and a Mug, by the way, comes in both color and black and white, and it's got everything you need to know, head to toe, about how to heal your body from and prevent any ailment, any disease. It's got over 100 recipes. It's got all of the information, and then full, complete chapters on different teas, the ones you want to drink and not drink, on juices, on spices, because you really have a medicine chest in your spice rack. You really do. and with the most delicious recipes. So that's the physical book. And then Uplifted, in that book, that I show you how it will take no more than 12 minutes a day to feel more joy, faith, peace, kindness, and vitality. And I give you chapters on gratitude and kindness. I give you over 100 action steps that, again, will take no more than 12 minutes. I give you different affirmations. So that book, Uplifted, has to do with mental, emotional, and spiritual health. And then A Hug and a Mug is all about physical health. And it's not just a nutrition book. That's about almost a half of the book. But the other half is about all the healthy living extras. I write about everything from heat therapy, infrared saunas, cold therapy, red light therapy, about sleep, about stress, how to stay motivated to achieve your goals, the best kind of exercise to get the quickest weight loss. So, and I didn't put it all in one book because it would have been about 600 pages. So while each of the books, A Hug and a Mug and Uplifted, stand on their own, you know, you don't have to read one and you miss out on what's on the other.
Right.
But together, it's the complete program, my head to toe, with all my Gold Star secrets that I've taught worldwide for decades. And they're available at Amazon.com. And if you want autographed copies, you just go to SusanSmithJones.com. And in the navigation bar, go to books. And then you go to each one. It will tell you how you'll get an autographed copy from me if you want. That I get the orders. I sign them. I write you a handwritten note on a note card. I even put a bookmark in the book, and then I go to my local post office here in Brentwood or Santa Monica, and I send these all over the world. Sometimes it's nice just to have an autographed copy, or you might want to send it to someone as a gift. So the books are easy to get, and they've just come out, And what's germane to our topic of sleep, I do talk about my 10 commandments to getting the best sleep in detail with the scientific studies to back it, a little bit in both of the books.
Fantastic. And all that on the website. While you're there, sign up for the free monthly newsletter. It takes less than 10 seconds. You'll be impressed every month. In fact, you'll be looking forward to it every month. Getting the newsletter, a variety of topics there, and you'll want to save these. And you can go to our, on our website, you can go to our archives and find past issues and topics that we've talked about in the program, many topics that are there, and get thorough information on them. So much at the website, SusanSmithJones.com. Dr. Susan, always a pleasure. Excellent show today, Sleepless in America. Thank you for being with us. We'll do it again next month.
Thank you, and sweet dreams, everyone.
And just take your thumb and right nostril and do the little exercise there before you go to try it once and see what happens, because I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. All those tips and so much more contained in tonight's program, and you'll also find them in the two newly released books, Uplifted and Hug in a Mug. All this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.